You know, it seems as though I have always been reading the words of Nadine Gordimer. She died over the weekend at age 90, South Africa's first Nobel Prize winner for literature. I was reading her words yesterday tearfully as the thunder rumbled over a rainy New York City, evoking the endless African vistas she always described. The rainy places, the dry places, all the dignified faces, the proper young girl eyes bursting with life, staring down authority. The mouths resolute with power and grace. She wrote of the determination of the oppressed to be free, of the struggle to free herself from the prison of being a white woman in South Africa. Raised by South Africa's strict race rules as a young girl, she became part of the activist mixed-race crowd as a college student when she started out as a writer.
Journalists, actors, people who in the arts who normally indeed don't follow the rules, the conservative rules, and where the feeling about the incredible distortions of racism, not only the oppression of blacks, but the distortions in your personality, in your mind as a white, these became very much part of my life and indeed started my way to freedom.
Nadine Gordimer speaking shortly after winning the Nobel Prize for Literature. You can hear that radiant, almost thermonuclear frailty as she speaks. My next guest and I share two details. Until Sunday, our entire lives were spent in a world where Nadine Gordimer lived. In this conversation, though, our second shared detail, it will take place entirely in a world where she's no longer with us. Zeyx Mda, South African novelist and creative writing professor at Ohio University, joins me now. It is a pleasure to meet and speak with you, Zeyx.
Well, it's my pleasure, John.
I think Nadine Gordimer is probably one of the most relevant writers who ever wrote, in that she was always writing about something that was happening, tangible change right now.
Oh, certainly. You know, she was one of the most relevant writers in South Africa. And we are very, very, very sad that she left us.
How did you experience her growing up?
Well, you know, she was a staple. We read her work, even though some of her books were banned. But we continued to read them underground. You know, you could go to jail for reading some of her works. It was a crime because there was strict censorship in South Africa those days.
What was your impression of her bravery reaching across this boundary?
Oh, well, we admired her. That is why amongst us, even to this day, you know, we refer to her as Comrade Nadine. And of course, as we grew up, you know, she mentored a number of us, black writers, and we got to know her personally, and she became a friend, and we worked with her. We traveled the world with her. And we basked in her fame and in her generosity. She was a great person, not just a great writer, but a wonderful, wonderful human being as well.
What did she teach you?
First and foremost, of course, you know, generosity was one of the main things because, you know, she didn't talk about it. She lived it. She shared herself. For instance, after she won that Nobel Prize, most of that money she plowed back into developing black writers in South Africa. So she was a very generous, a very compassionate person.
I was reading your work and her work last night, and I was struck by the opening lines of your novel, Way of Dying. And the and the beginning of one of her stories, the moment before the gun went off. And both scenes are about funerals where the people who are mourning are struggling to understand how external political forces will impose meaning on these deaths. In one case, blacks. In the other case, whites. And the poor people are just so overwhelmed by the politics that are determining their relationships with their loved ones. It was astounding, the intersection between those two scenes.
Well, of course, you see, ours was a culture of death, you know, a culture of funerals. So I'm sure even that story, I would expect, you know, there would be those funerals and so on, because, you know, we lived in a world of death and funerals. And it was through funerals, in fact, that we celebrated life. It was through funerals that we expressed ourselves politically, especially during the period when political expression through other means was banned. So it would be at the funeral that people would express themselves. That is why then you find that in our literature, in our stories, funerals would feature a lot.
What do you think she says to the people of today?
Well, you know, she was a very honest person. During apartheid, she joined the liberation movement, and she did not only write about the oppression and the freedom of the oppressed people. She actually participated in the freedom struggle. She, as a person, not just as a writer. After we achieved the freedom, she continued as a member of the ANC, which is the ruling party. But when the ANC or its leadership began, for instance, to show, you know, some weaknesses here and there, we began to see some corruption in its ranks and so on, he did not hesitate, you know, to be critical of his of her own. She did not hesitate to be critical of her own comrades. So, you know, she was very outspoken. That is another lesson that we learned from her.
Zakes Mada, South African novelist and creative writing professor at Ohio University in Athens, Ohio. Zakes, thanks so much.
My pleasure.